Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message.
Well, today we start a brand new series called The Armor of God. And my mission from God is simple, starting today, as I'm going to help a lot of people start to have victory in their life. Anybody wants some victory over the struggles that you may be facing? And spoiler alert, if you're not in the midst of a struggle, there's one coming, okay? And so I'm going to ready you to walk in some victory that God has for far too many Christians. They live their life just struggling and just really losing the different battles they're going through. But God has called us to walk in some victory in Jesus' name. And so I just want to challenge you as your pastor. Like, I just want to challenge you to be here every single week of this series that we start today. And if you're on vacation, you know, maybe you're going to see Mickey or something there in Florida or California, catch it out online. But stick with us throughout this series. Here's where we're going. If you got a copy of the scriptures, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. This is going to be our main text that we'll be in through the series. We're going to go verse by verse, and we're going to start in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. So I'd encourage you to turn there with me. I'll hit some other places throughout this series, but this is going to be our main text. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and I'm going to read out the NIV, the New International Version. And man, God's going to do a great, great work. Here's what it says, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. No one's debating that right now, right? What's going on in our world? It's dark. Of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when, somebody shout when. Come on, a few more people shout when. So that when the day of evil comes. So the author, and we'll talk about him in a second, he didn't say if an evil day comes. And again, no shocker based on what's happening in our world. He said it's not an if, it's a when. When that day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm. That's repetition on purpose. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. We're going to walk through all of this the next several weeks, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What's that, Pastor? Well, the Bible answers it right there, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, all kinds of prayers and all kinds of requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I can fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So we're going to walk through that, but today we're going to focus on the first three verses. Can we read them again? You can read with me in your mind. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you could take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. If you're taking notes, I'm calling this message, the first one in the series, The Invisible War. The Invisible War. Would you bow your heads again with me? Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and thank you for just these sweet moments we've had in your presence. God, really running to you in our pain and in our grief. And God, really this text, Ephesians 6, more than ever before, we need it for today because of the struggles and the evil day that we're in. And you told us, God, that it's not if, it's when the evil day comes. And we're in the middle of that right now. And so we pray, God, for all of us, those that are brand new to faith, those that are brand new to church, those that are maybe here almost every single week. God, I pray for all of us in person and online that we would learn some things, for others that we would relearn some things, and that we would begin to walk in the victory that you have for us. This is the day, this is the hour for the true church, your church, to rise up and to be the men and women of God we are called to be. So I pray over the next few moments you'd speak through me. I pray we'd have some fun, but we'd also learn and grow together. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Amen. I'm gonna take you a little deeper into some things. And again, I'm gonna take you to a few different passages and we'll see how much time that we have and may not get to everything. But today I wanna take you a little deeper because it is Memorial Day weekend and you chose to show up to church. And by the way, you're in the right place. I'm so glad to be here with you. But anytime, not just in this series, anytime that I'm reading the Bible personally or I'm reading to just prepare for a message like this, there's three questions that I'm asking myself. And pro tip, these are the same three questions you should be asking. You know, people come up to me all the time, well, Pastor, and the way that you dig in, man, you really help us like get it. And I just want you to know, ain't nothing special with me. I'm just asking three questions whenever I'm reading a text. And so you can apply this today. You can apply this tomorrow. And all three questions, they start with the letter A, okay? And so you can write these down if you take notes in church. But three questions I'm always asking when I'm studying the Bible. Number one is this, who is the author? You can write that down. I'm asking that every single time, and you can ask that question too. Who's the author? Now, here at this church, we believe that God, the Holy Spirit, inspired men to pen the Bible, to write down. So we believe that. We believe that God wants to partner with you and I. That's a big deal. You got to get that. But also we believe that God partnered with people. He used men of God. He used their personality, what they're going through. And so it's really important that we understand who is writing Ephesians. And a lot of you may know this, but it's this guy named the Apostle Paul. He's the one that's writing. Now, Paul was a guy that had a life change and a name change. Some of you may know this, but he used to be called Saul. And actually, he used to persecute Christians. He'd be there cheering when Christians were killed because of their faith. This is who Saul was. But he had this epic encounter with God. He saw who Jesus was. God changed his life. And not only was he never the same on the inside, he also got a name change. And he went from Saul to Paul. So this is the guy who's writing. He actually was attacking Christians. Now he's one of the most bold, fearless Christians you'll ever encounter. This is the guy who's writing. So I'm asking, number one, who is the author? Second question I'm asking is, who is the audience? Told you they all start with A at the very end there. Who is the audience? You see, Paul is not writing this randomly. He's not even writing. A lot of people think he's not even writing with like the mindset that, hey, it's going to be read thousands of years from now. He is specifically writing to Christians living in Ephesus. That's a city or an area there in the Middle East, kind of that region. And he's writing to them, and that's why it's called Ephesians. He's writing to Christians in Ephesus. Now, for some of y'all, the light bulb just like came on because you're like, whoa, those Bible names, they're not random. Ephesians actually, like there's a reason. Colossians is written to a certain group of people in this area called Colossae. And so this is why it's called Ephesians. And this is the audience. This is one of the early church groups there living in Ephesus. And then the third question I'm asking, so what is the author? Who is the audience? And the third question is, what is the aim? And so what's the purpose? Like, why is this written? Why is it included in the Bible? There's only 66 books that make up the Old Testament, the New Testament, and not every letter that was written in the early church made it into the Bible. And so what's the purpose? Why was it written? And at this point in Paul's life, he is actually, and you maybe caught this at the end of what we read, he is actually writing Ephesians, and specifically this part of Ephesians, he's writing it from jail. Remember what he said, I'm an ambassador in chains? Like, that's not symbolism. That's what really was going on. And most Bible scholars, if not every Bible scholar, they are in unison, in agreement, that as he's writing this in a prison cell, he is literally chained to a Roman soldier. And so not only is he in prison, like he's in like in like this solitary, like it's just him and a prison guard in his cell, and he is chained to that person. And so literally, as Paul, the apostle, who used to persecute Christians, as he's writing this to early Christians in Ephesus, he is writing it chained to a Roman soldier who is wearing all of the gear. And so as he writes about the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and those special gospel shoes, all that kind of stuff, he is watching and seeing a Roman soldier right in front of him. And so as he's led by the Holy Spirit, he's like, you know what? I'm going to use all of that to equip the church, to equip Christians back then in Ephesus. But how many of y'all know we're going to benefit here today at Christ Covenant in Houston? He's like, I'm going to equip the church to actually, excuse me. It's not COVID, I promise. But he's going to equip the church to actually win the spiritual war that they're in. As Paul writes Ephesians 6, it's like spiritual boot camp, y'all, for you and me. He's preparing us for the spiritual war, the invisible war that is raging all around us. Whether you believe it or not, there is a spiritual realm, things that we cannot see with our natural sight that are happening. And I'm telling you, if God could open up our eyes, and he did that a couple of times in the Bible, by the way, but if he could open up our eyes to see the unseen, to see what's really happening, I think it would change the way we lived a little bit, because there's more than meets the eye. Thank you, Optimus Prime. So let me give you some quick disclaimer. Because there is a spiritual war, but I want to give you a quick disclaimer. Because here at this church, and I love this about our church, here at this church, we got people from all different denominational backgrounds. Some of you have been in church a long time, and you've never heard a message on the armor of God. There's others that you were actually a part of a denomination that they actually kind of spoke against that, saying, no, those people are crazy, you know, that kind of deal. And then we also have people at this church that you're from no church background at all, and every passage is brand new. By the way, all of you, we are so glad you're here. Like, that's why it's non-denominational. Everybody is welcome, even those that don't have faith in Jesus at all. And so I got to give you a quick disclaimer, because it is so easy to over-spiritualize things. I met a lot of people like that. Maybe you know some people. Maybe you got some people in your family that are like that. But it's also easy to under-spiritualize things. And so God, and my job as your pastor, God wants to get us back to a balanced perspective, okay? Where we don't over-spiritualize and we also don't under-spiritualize everything. Because I've met people that they literally believe there's a devil behind every bush. Like, for real. And everything bad in their life, they give the devil credit. Like that he is like honed in on them. He ain't worried about anybody else. He just wants to take them out, which there's some truth to that, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I just need you to know, okay, hear me loud and clear. Like ladies, I just got to tell you, it wasn't the devil that made you get back with your ex-boyfriend, okay? Just need you to know that. Like that was you, sister. That was all you. Like just got to get balanced. It wasn't the devil that made you go broke. That was one-click purchasing on Amazon, okay? That was taking out another credit card to pay off a credit card you had prior, right? We give the devil too much credit. Like, it wasn't the devil that made us break our diets and gain 20 pounds. That was COVID and Whataburger, okay? And so often, we blame the devil, and it was just our own doing, okay? And so we got to get back to a balanced perspective. But with that said, please hear me loud and clear. There absolutely is a spiritual war, an invisible war taking place against your life. So again, my job is to make sure you don't over-spiritualize, but you also don't under-spiritualize either. Because here's the truth. If we were honest before God, which there's no better place on the planet to be honest with God than his church, his house. But if we were honest with God, there's things that you're facing, like everybody looking in my eyes for a moment, in person and online. there are things happening in your life right now, or things that you just came out of that you just knew on the inside, or you know currently on the inside, there's something different happening. That it's not just a natural deal. There's the forces of evil. You may not even be able to explain it, but you just know. You don't need a pastor to tell you. You don't even need a few verses. You just know that what's happening, maybe it's a struggle area, maybe it's an area in your life that you can't just seem to have victory in like you know you should. Maybe it's something that's going on with your kids or something that's happening in your marriage. It's an attack after attack. We all have stuff in our lives. Let's be real. Let's be honest. Things that are happening now or we just got out of that we just feel like and we just know that we know there is a spiritual battle. There's an attack on our lives. And again, that's bad news. I got some good news. God has called you and I, no matter the struggle, no matter even if the devil has puts his bullseye on our back, God has called you and I to walk in some victory. Can I get a good amen here at Christ Covenant? And so we got to learn how to fight this invisible war. And so I want to give you two things. This is really just the intro to the series, but I think it's going to really help some people. And we got to know a couple of things. Here's the first one. This is where Paul starts. That because we're in a spiritual battle, we need to, number one, know our enemy. Like you need to know. Like, would you not agree that, like, if you're in a battle, you probably should know who you're fighting? Am I preaching to myself? Like, help me out. Like, right? That's common sense. You can disagree with everything else. You can't disagree with that. Like, if you're going to fight somebody, I think it would be helpful to know who you're fighting, right? And so we got to know our enemy. This is where Paul, the apostle, begins. He's like, hey, in any war, physical or spiritual, you need to know your enemy. So here's some more bad news because you need to know who your enemy is. The devil, he is real. You could poll a lot of Christians here in America, and a lot of people think that the devil is just the figment of their imagination, you know, that kind of deal. But then you know, that's not true. The devil is real. He's real. Not only that, he hates you. He despises you. He wants to kill you. He wants to take you out. He has a miserable plan for your life. Here's what the Bible says in another place, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, he's against you. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Some of us act like the devil's some nice little kitty cat that we can pet. That's not the devil. He is a roaring lion that wants to destroy your life. The devil isn't playing tiddlywinks, okay? He's playing Hunger Games. He wants to take you out. He wants to destroy you. This is life or death. Not only that, the devil is smart. He is cunning. And he has, what did Paul say? He has schemes. He's got tactics, things that he employs to try to get, to tempt you to sin, to bring evil against your life. Now, again, just want to bring some balance. There's a lot of myths out there about the devil. You need to know this. The devil is not omniscient. Omniscient, well, what does that mean, Pastor? That's a fancy, like, Bible term that they gave me back in Bible school, okay? Omniscient means all-knowing. God is all-knowing. The devil is not. There's a myth out there that the devil read my mind. He cannot read your mind. Now, God can, and that's the scary part, right? But the devil cannot read your mind. He's not all-knowing, but he has schemes. And think about it logically. He has been watching humanity for a long time. And so he's figured some things out, some ways to tempt us and manipulate us. Not only that, because you got to know your enemy, the devil doesn't announce himself when he comes against you. He's not that guy in red stretchy spandex, you know, like with the pitchfork, like what you may be dressed up, you know, Halloween, whatever, back in the day. Like, that's not him. That's not what he does. Here's what the Bible says. This is actually from Paul in another place, 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for Satan, just another name for the devil, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So he wears a mask, and I ain't talking about COVID. he tries to act like he's something that he's not. Because if he told you that that affair was going to ruin not just your marriage, but your relationship with your kids and all your finances, if he told you, if he announced himself, do you think you'd actually give in to that sin, that temptation? No, he makes it look good. He's good at his job. That's the bad news, but I'm sorry, it gets worse. The devil has help. The devil, who is a fallen angel, he's just one, but he's got comrades called demons. That's a real thing. That's really happening. Who are other fallen angels who rebelled against God. I don't have time for it in this intro message, but if you want to look at more into that, Revelation chapter 12, okay, talks about that. So not only do you have the devil or Satan, whatever you want to call him, El Diablo, but he's got demons working overtime for him to try to destroy your life. That's the bad news. But are you ready for some good news? You're like, yeah, Pastor, let's get some good news. Here's some good news. That he does not have anywhere close to the same power as your God. Your God is greater, and not only that, it gets better. Jesus has already defeated him. It's already happened. When did it happen? On the cross. Jesus gave his life, but how many of y'all know he didn't stay dead? 3 days later, Easter, he rose from the dead so you and I could walk in victory. The battle's actually already over. And so it's time that we stand in the victory that Jesus has already won. Well, why is the devil still reaping? Because his days are numbered. And God promises in many different places in the Bible that one day is coming where the devil will be completely cast out to the eternal lake of fire, him and all his demons, and he won't mess with anybody anymore. His days are numbered. But until then, he's trying to take you out in your marriage. I don't care how long you've been married. There's still tactics and schemes to try to take you out. Those that are struggling with an addiction or having struggles in your home. Like, he wants to take as many people with them to hell as possible. But again, we got victory in Jesus' name. So we are in a war. We need to know our enemy. But number two, we also need to know our orders. Like, we're not just walking around, you know, just like our heads in the clouds, like, oh, you know, no big deal, right? Just gonna pay my bills and go to work or go to school, just gonna try to get by. Like, you got work to do. God's got an assignment for you. There's things that he wants to do in you and through you to make sure you keep walking in the victory that he has. So yeah, you need to know who you're fighting, who you're against, but you also need to know the orders that God has for you. And so Paul the Apostle, again, being led by the Holy Spirit, he gives us our orders, our marching orders in Ephesians 6 as well. He says this, verse 10, if you still got it open. If you shut your Bible or closed your app, like, get it back open, okay? It's Bible study every week here. But here's what he said in verse 10. We already read it. He says this, here's your orders. Be strong in the Lord. If you can highlight or mark up your Bible, which, by the way, your Bible should be black and blue, okay? Like, you should be using it. And like it's, we'll get to weapons later on, but be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I want to read that again. You got to get this. This is your marching orders. This is your assignment from God with the spiritual war, the invisible war that's happening, that you'd be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And I want to illustrate this for you. I'm going to try to have some object illustrations every week during this series, or at least mostly every week. Tom, why don't you come on up, and John, why don't you come on up. Would you put your hands together for John and Tom? Come on, give them a better hand than that. I want to illustrate this for you. Now, a lot of our bodybuilders in the church, they out this Sunday, okay? And so I got these bodybuilders up here, John and Tom. Y'all are awesome. So this is a curl bar for those that don't work out like me. It's like, we just got to know. This is a curl bar. I don't know if y'all can catch this online. Y'all working so good in the back. So grateful. So here's what I want you to do. John, I want you to rep as many as you can with your own strength, okay? And every time he gets up, because he's going to start here, and he's not going to do them one-handed. I just got a microphone, okay? But he's gonna do it with two hands here, do some bicep curls. And every time he hits one, like one, two, let's count and let's encourage him. Cool? No? Cool? All right. I know it's Memorial Day weekend, but here we go. All right, John. So when he goes up, we'll count. One, two, look at that form. Three, four, five, come on. Six, seven, eight, nine. Can he get 10? 10, all right, hold it down. Hold on, don't drop it though. Just hold it right there. Yeah. Just you can rest it on your legs, but don't put it on the ground. All right, there we go. Man, that was good. I was thinking this illustration's messing up. He's doing too many. All right, here we go. So this is what, this is us in our lives. This is what this represents. And I just need like 30 minutes of you like this. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But here's us. Because here's what happens in your marriage and your singleness and your family, the struggle, the addiction that you just can't seem to overcome. What do we do here in America? We just do it on our own strength, right? I'm going to buck up, buckaroo. You suck it up, buttercup, you know, like all these little, rub some dirt on it, right? You just keep on, you fake it till you make it. That's what we do here in America. I know it's getting heavy. And in our own lives, yeah, we can do a little bit. He got 10 reps. That's awesome. That's a lot of weight here. But we're going to get to the point, and some of you are there right now. You're faking the smile, trying to act like you got it all together. But we will get to the point of exhaustion when we are doing it in our own ability, in our own strength, and it's just a matter of time until we give up. But I got good news for you. There's a God. You're playing God today, just for an illustration. There's a God that's here to help you. Let's keep going. 11. 12, count with me, 13, 14, 15. All right, you can put it down now. Both you guys are good. Drop it, John. Come on, put your hands together for these guys. Y'all can have a seat. No, you can leave it there. You're good, John. Thank you so much. He's like, yeah, you want me to lift it a couple more times? Check this out. Here's what happens. God has called you and I not to use our own strength to walk in victory. What did Paul say? In his strength, in his mighty power, even those in the room who have been walking with Jesus, maybe even more than I've been alive, which is a long time because I'm 35 now. But even you who have gone to church your entire life, you've won little medals back in the day, you know, junior Bible quiz, and you just know the Bible cover to cover. Even you will eventually get to the point where you're exhausted if you're trying to fight the battle in your own strength. I'm telling you, you are not strong enough, but God is. And he is here to spot you. He is here to help. You can ask John after the service. Those last five reps, John was barely doing anything. It was Tom that was helping him go through. Why? Because John was spent. He had nothing left. The reason why is because he was operating in his own strength, but that's not what God has called you to. So hear the voice of God in your life. It's not your job to fix your marriage. It's not your job to fix your kids. It's not your job to overcome that addiction. What's your job? To rest in his strength. To lean on his might. I feel the Holy Spirit working in hearts right now. I can feel him in the room. It's not you. It's him working in you and through you. And the reason why you don't have victory is either because you didn't know there was even a war happening. Now you know, you got no excuses. Or number two, that you have been following your orders. And your orders are awesome. You don't fight. You stand. And as you stand close to Jesus, that's when you find his strength. When you read your word, not just on a Sunday morning, but all to get one verse a day, nothing wrong with that. When you pray and you talk to God on your commute, as many of you are going back into the office, when you spend some time even before a meal and you just thank God for how good he's been to you, that there's people all over the world that don't have a meal in front of them. When you take moments and you rest in God's presence, when you keep showing up, even on Memorial Day weekend, Christ's Covenant, when you make church God's house a priority, that's how you stand close to God. And as you stand close to him, that's where you find your strength. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. I wrote it down this way. As Jesus followers, you need to never forget that we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. big difference. It's not about our strength or our knowledge of the word or our past experience. You could be the greatest theologian out there. We don't fight for victory. It's not about us. We fight from victory because of Jesus and what he's already done. It's not about our power or our will or our grind or our experience. It's about God's strength. And I don't know if I'll get to this in the next service, but I want to get to it now. If you did a study all throughout the Bible, cover to cover, Old Testament to New Testament, if you looked at different men and women of God, you'll find this to be true in their lives, that it wasn't about like their skills, wasn't about their experience. In fact, God usually chose like the last pick. It's kind of what he's notorious for. You're looking at one of his last picks right here. Like, that's just, don't come from like a pastor, you know, background, that kind of deal. And I mean, I got awesome parents who love God and live for God behind the scenes, not just on a Sunday. So I do have that, which not everybody has. But God, he likes to pick the one who would be picked last by other people. Why? Because it shows his glory. And if you look all throughout the Bible, you'll see testimony after testimony of men and women of God who walked in victory, not because of their strength, but because of God's strength. Some of you will remember the story. Let's give you a few of them. Some of you will remember the story of Joshua. He was the next man up from Moses. The whole let my people go and millions of people being led out of slavery in Egypt. But they didn't get to the promised land with Moses. They got right there. And so Joshua was the next man up to actually lead them in. And he's thinking, what do I do? I'm not the right guy. I mean, can you imagine coming after somebody as awesome as Moses? You know, like that's pressure. And here's what it says, Joshua 1:9, part B. God says this to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Check this out. For the Lord your God will be with you. He's with you. One of the writers of Psalms, I believe it was Asaph, said it this way, Psalm 73:26. He said this, my flesh and my heart may fail. Isn't that true? I can't do it in my own strength. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength, the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Habakkuk, one of the Old Testament prophets, Old Testament men of God. We did a whole series going through the book of Habakkuk. It was awesome back in the day, a couple years ago. But Habakkuk said it this way in chapter 3 of the same book by his name, verse 19. He said it this way, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. You see, God is the source of all strength. And so if you feel weak today, it's not because of the war and all that stuff. It's because you need to get closer to Jesus. If you feel weak in your marriage, you may not need another self-help book. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. I read those kind of things. But what you really need, what you most need, is to get close to Jesus. And one day a week is awesome. It's an important part of the process. But you also need Monday through Saturday that you would get close to him. If your kids are acting like they're demon-possessed up in your house and you're like, God, we really need some victory. Guess what? You need to get your kids in church more. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be in God's house. It's a big deal to us. It's going to take precedent over soccer practice or baseball. Like, sad truth, a small percentage of people get a scholarship or become, you know, professional athletes. I thought I was one of them, but I could barely make it to B team, okay? Like, it's just reality. But they don't need another extracurricular activity. They need more time in God's presence. And as you stand, not fight, as you stand, stand firm, stand next to Jesus as close as you can. That's when you start walking in the victory that God has for you. Amen, church? Now, next week, and again, if you're going to be out of town visiting Mickey, that's awesome. I was out of town a couple weeks ago. You check out every message online, okay? They're on Facebook, YouTube. We got people watching in both those places on our website. We put the message on demand the next Monday or Tuesday, just soon after. But I want you to stick with me, because over the next several weeks, we're going to find out how do we actually, like, practically put on the full armor of God? How do we stand in the victory that God has for us? I'm telling you, I'm going to help you walk in some victory. Would you bow your heads with me, close your eyes? Jesus, thank you. Thank you, God, for what you've done in this service. Thank you, God, for your people showing up in this room and also those showing up online. God, thank you for what you're doing. So grateful for your favor and your blessing upon this house, your house. So good to be back with your people. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to know who our enemy is, that he's real, that he hates us, that he's got schemes and different sneaky tactics that he's trying to do to come against our marriage and come against our kids and come against our relationships, come against us at work and at school and in our neighborhood and with addictions and struggles. We need to know who we're fighting. But number two, we also need to know our orders, that we're really not fighting. You're fighting. You've already won the victory. We're just standing in that victory. And so I pray, God, for those that are burnt out, that are worried, that are stressed, that are frustrated because they can't seem to have victory. I pray, God, that they would get as close to you as they can. They've already started right, being in your house on a Sunday morning. That's the first step. But also, I pray Monday through Saturday, they'd spend just a little time in your word, a little time in prayer. It could be even just a few minutes throughout the day, but there's power in that as we get close to you, as you spot us and you help us. Where we are weak, you are made strong. Help us to walk in that victory. And I believe, God, I just got a gift of faith right now, just activating in my heart as their pastor, that this summer, as we dig deep into this verse by verse, God, you're going to activate some victory. You're going to help so many more people walk in the victory that you've called us to. And if you can get a church that walks in the victory and the authority that they have, a city's going to be changed. And so I pray, God, you help us to find that, to walk in that. And I pray, lastly, for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that's far from you, I pray, God, that today they would surrender their life to you. I pray today they would give you their life. Following a pattern in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if they confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, they will be saved. Friend, you can do that right now in person, online. Jesus, we confess that you are God. We are not. We confess, Jesus, that you have the power to save me, to heal me from the inside out. Jesus, we believe that you died on the cross. It really happened. You can whisper this to him. Jesus, we believe that you rose from the dead 3 days later. It takes faith, but we believe. And Jesus, we ask you, this is the most important question you can ask him. Jesus, we ask you to forgive us of all our sin. We ask you to set us free. We ask you to help us to start walking in the victory that you've called us to. And from this day forward, we realize we don't fight for victory. We stand in victory. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Thank you, God, for lives that I believe in faith have been changed. Not because of me, but because of your holy, powerful word, the sword of the Spirit. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.